Dad Bod Rap Pod. Podcasting is hard work. You know,
I'm sweating, Doug.
Talking to people, forming cogent sentences, explaining things,
drinking organizing drinks, interviews,
yeah.
Calling when you're supposed to.
Oh, yeah,
these are hard.
So we're getting through it. I've always been like a kind of a C minus guy. You know what I mean? Just kind of like whatever's get required. I got you at like 72% capacity on everything. I'm not.
Those aren't bad odds these days.
Yeah, yeah. So doing what we can. My name is Damone Carter, aka Dem One. I am joined by Mr. Nate Young Nathaniel.
Hello, world.
And also Mr. David Ma.
Famous rap writer David Ma.
Yes. And that is a sample from the Cypress Hill record, not an actual bong rip.
Not really, but really good to fucking be on here again.
Yeah, man.
Real talk.
Yeah, so we're here in episode something, and we have a guest who just dropped by Dad Bod Rap Pod Studios here in Cypress Hill, California.
Humble, great to meet him. My first time meeting him, which is strange because, you know, it's San Jose.
Yeah, yeah.
But definitely his work precedes him, so it's really great to like sort of see you vibe with a homie and be able to dissect some music.
Yeah, it's been a long time friend, and, you know, we kind of started our musical journey together, and to see someone go...
I didn't realize, when you've talked about Lackadaisical a couple times before, I didn't realize that he was a crew member.
Yeah, yeah, and the essential one.
Right.
In terms of like,
but we should introduce him properly. Who are we about to talk about?
We are talking about my friend, Mr. Traxamillion, has produced songs for E40, Too Short. Probably his most notable, famous one is a hyphy, genre defining song called Super Hyphy by Keep the Sneak.
I think I called it Super Duper Hyphy.
You
in
did,
the
but you
Fuck.
Know,
that's
I mean,
a different song, right?
No, I mean he says Super Duper Hyphy.
Okay, he says it. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know.
I was going to do a really growly voice. Do you think it was a good choice to not do that?
Well, after you flubbed on Super Duper Hyphy, I'm like, you know, we grade on the white guy curve.
Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
Our non-listeners, thank you.
Yeah, so he really has grown into this, you know, incredible artist that kind of helped define one of the, I won't say the last, but one of the most impactful relatively recent musical movements, which was hyphy, which is a sound that kind of coalesced around 05, 06, just, you know, wild, frenetic, you know, 120 BPM, kind of crazy stuff, an evolution of what's typically called mob music, and you know, Trax was right there with all of that. And he's from San Jose, and that's kind of like one of the B-side stories of hyphy.
Well, firstly, great moniker.
Yes, yeah. It is a great
love
moniker.
It. Love it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually a list that Forbes did of best rap money names.
Oh.
And he made it?
Yeah, yeah. He was like
good.
Number six. Yeah,
that's funny.
Props Forbes writer that day.
Yeah, exactly.
Good,
exactly.
Good. Whoever came up with that.
Yeah, so he had one of the top rap money names.
That's great.
Had
I'm wondering who else was on there. Richie Rich?
Right.
Richie Rich, Chameleon right. Hair.
Okay.
Cash Money Marvelous? I don't know. Go check it out. Check out Forbes.com.
Definitely. Ty Dolla $ign sneakily having the best summer in a long time.
He's
secret ingredient on all of the good songs this summer.
Wow.
On a mainstream tip,
secret
anyway.
Secret ingredient of all.
But
that's our next episode.
For the Traxamillion interview, I didn't bring this up, but I had met him once before. He was wearing six shoes then. He was wearing six shoes today. I am a sneaker enthusiast,
right.
So it's nice to see someone put in some effort.
Sure.
Height.
My apologies. Yeah, height speed.
I'm going to set the scene for you guys a little bit here. I noticed this last year at a party at Dave's house. We're recording at Dave's house tonight. There's a 2-yard by 1-yard collection of black shoes by the front door here. Dave and his lovely girlfriend Misa, who's a great friend of mine, shouts to Misa, wear black shoes every single day. Yeah, and when they come in, they seem to kick them by the door in a haphazard fashion, and we get about 30 or 40 Sambas, Nikes. I'm seeing a couple
New
Adidas
Balance.
Boosts,
Supply New Balance,
some New Balance. We've got some Old Balance.
Gosh.
Shout out to my partner. I love you.
Yes.
Yes, but I wear fucking camp, all black camp.
And today it looks like everything. You're rocking some winos.
I know. Hey, we're not all Traxamillionaires.
I know. We're not all Traxamillionaires over here.
Yeah. So that
I can't wear pink jogging shoes to your house on a Tuesday and a casual.
That's a Saturday.
I'm just kidding.
Your Yeezy Sevens. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, definitely a fly guy. Like, he definitely tries to.
Cool as fuck. Very nice meeting your homie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Liked hearing about your guys' sort of background and history as well.
Story, yeah. It's very gratifying to see.
Dope. It felt like that.
Yeah, like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm going to give the little plug. Like, an in-person interview is so much more rewarding for us than these phone interviews. Like, the phone is great because we can reach anyone in the world, and we've had some illustrious guests, and we're really pleased with that and grateful. Right. But when you get to look someone in the eye and kind of talk to them on a person-to-person level, it's really, really rewarding. So it was awesome to meet him, and like, thank you, Damone, for hooking that up.
Yeah, 100%. It's a hometown shit, but did not feel like it.
Totally.
And I don't mean that in a bad way. On
a complete fluke, by the
way. Yeah. No, homie shit. We were going to have to run over there to help for Traxamillion for us. For our Traxamillion to help us record this shit.
I know. Yeah. We had some technical difficulties today, but we got through it. I think we have tended not to talk about San Jose that much, except for the vegan restaurant on the east side a couple of episodes ago, because we really don't want this to be a local podcast. We want to reach all of hip-hop culture, and we're all like kind of involved in things on a wider level than that. But we're proud of where we're from. We're from San Jose, California. We have tried to, in our way, talk about who we are and where we're from, and I hope that it's connecting with people outside of our region. But it's cool to have kind of the local superstar come through and bless the show.
100%. Yeah. I mean, I want to go triple uranium, but it's also nice to be like in cargo shorts at your pad.
And no,
that's
please.
Some real shit.
Please.
So it's great to have, you know, to Nate's point, great to have Traxamillion in the house, and you know. Superstar producer, dog.
Let's
give him his props.
Yeah, he's made some real slaps, and he remains humble about it. He mentions his work with a San Jose artist named Ziggy.
Right.
You know, maybe we'll have him on the program at some point. But, you know, it's just an example of that. You know, rap can live anywhere, man. It's like, it's really like a virus, man. In any setting where you have a certain amount of people, there's rappers in South Dakota.
My mom knows who Snoop Dogg is. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, the shit's 40 years old. You know, it's culture.
I'm just going to keep bringing it up because I'm, like, obsessed with this film. But Snoop Dogg tweeted out that everyone should go see Sorry to Bother You.
Oh, please do.
Yeah. Absolutely. So I thought that was fascinating. I didn't know he was, like, checking for Boots' work or for, like, auteur films.
Hey, this sort of, this sort of response to Boots, New York Times, like,
incredible.
And way overdue. Thank you. You know, there's a thousand other Boots rallies, so it's great to see.
He's breaking through.
Right. This dude, you know, not to take like a weird fucking sharp turn, but, you know, kind of sad about the Pam not being around.
Absolutely.
For the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But, I mean, they were onto something, and you can tell.
Years ago.
Decades ago.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. No, it's interesting, because that kind of era when Boots first came around was definitely influential on myself, and I would sure Trax would say the same. Those original Cool albums, and the movie, without spoiling it, definitely captures this feeling of the Kooks politics and the kind of the energy that is in their albums. And so I loved it. It's in full release now,
I believe. So it's on July 10th. I have not seen it. Without spoilers, what do you guys think of it without major spoilers?
Amazing.
Yeah. Incredible. Needs to be seen by everyone. When you have caught up, we will do a full-on segment and discuss with the spoiler alert in the title.
I'm ready.
It's awesome, man. A real brief aside, since we're talking about local stuff, I had to go to Union City to see it on opening weekend.
Right.
And that's like the outer edge of the East Bay. Sure. And it was really, really cool to see it with an East Bay audience. And so I'm waiting for my wife after the film to use the restroom, and I'm hearing people come out of the theater, and they're like, that was interesting.
Yes.
I'm glad I saw it.
Oh.
Certainly a lot to think about.
Oh.
What a good satire. And like hearing kind of a lot of backhanded compliments.
Yeah.
It's a complex, engaging, really, really interesting film. I don't say this very often, and I don't like mean to like overstate, but I really feel like it must be seen. It's not something you can talk about in the abstract.
Wow. It's important work.
I love hearing that.
Yeah, it's important work, and especially for those of us in the Bay Area with issues like gentrification going on, late-stage capitalism, this brilliant commentary, but not even heavy-handed, super funny, sci-fi to it. Just go see it.
Well, I mean, he's always been such a modern thinker, so just to have another, like, platform. It's just so perfect.
The biggest one.
Italian chef kiss. You know, yeah. So perfect. But I haven't seen it. But I mean, both you guys.
It's awesome.
I'm already.
So we touch a little bit on the hometown aspect with Traxxamillion, and we talk a little bit about kind of his moment, the hyphy moment, and it's something we still reconcile with. It was the last major movement from the Bay. Right now, you've got kind of like SOB, RBE.
Right.
Repping the Bay. It's kind of, it seems a bit post hyphy to me, not in music, but just in the next big thing from the Bay.
Yeah.
I was not a huge hyphy guy when it came out. I think I might have told the story on the pod before, but I went as a hyphy guy for Halloween one year with the like 4XT and the paint splattered A's hat and the huge jeans, and like people didn't know it was a costume unless you knew me and you knew how weird that would be.
Right.
It was like not like that well received.
I get it.
But,
concept album.
Yeah, it was a concept album. But the interesting thing that has remained from that movement to me is the beats. And like he has one of the signature beats of that time. And so it's just cool to have caught kind of lightning in a bottle with that. And like just rad that he came by.
Totally.
Yep. So this is our interview with the homie Traxxamillion. Here we got a special guest in studio. Full disclosure, good personal friend of mine, old school homie. He is, I will say, he probably wouldn't like me to say, but a legendary Bay Area producer. Has worked with everyone that made the hyphy movement special and continue to make the hyphy movement special. Mr. Traxxamillion.
Yeah. Yo, what up?
Good to have you here, man.
It's good to be here. I watched the show, and I listened to it.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for caring.
Yo, good to have you in studio, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, can we talk about San Jose? Like, you live in San Jose. You're from San Jose. You've made a successful music career from San Jose that is somewhat rare.
Right.
How did you do it? Why do you stay? What do you think about San Jose?
Man, I don't know how I did it. I was just doing what was... came natural to me, and I just kept doing it.
Do you draw inspiration from like the cultural melting pot of San Jose, or is it just end up?
For sure. I just, for a while, you know, when I was young, I was kind of like resistant against it, and then as I got up, I'm like, use this energy, man. Let's see what's going on around here, you know what I mean?
Now, so I mean, you're obviously known for producing. Who are some of your most influential producers? Like who struck you?
Timbaland.
Okay.
You know, instantly, obviously, like Dr. Dre, Pharrell, Premier. Just more like on the hip hop side.
Going
more towards the hip hop side, Premier and Dilla.
Oh, of course.
Man.
Word.
So I think our general audience, if they were to know one production of yours, it would probably be Super Duper Hyphy.
Yes, sir.
Fucking incredible beat. I'm honored to be sitting here in your presence. Really defined an era. Can you please talk about how you made it, how you got it to Keek, and what that did to your life?
The quick story is, I was at my mom's house. My cousins came over, young boys, drunk. It was one of my cousins' birthday, and they was dancing. And I was trying to figure out something that, you know what I mean?
Sure.
A beat that kind of like, it was like the new dance that everybody was doing. It was turf dancing.
Sure.
At the time. So I was just trying to figure out a beat that just kind of went with that. So they were just in the room dancing, and that was a beat I came up with. And had it, thought it was special, had it for a while, gave it to a few people, nobody really listened to it. I heard Keith had a show in Santa Cruz, and at the time, me and Keith already did some work for his album, but I heard he had a show in Santa Cruz. I was just like, fuck it. Drove up to Santa Cruz, actually caught him on the way, leaving the show, on his way from the like the back door, backstage, to his van or whatever. Stopped him, yo, you know what I mean? Yo, Keith, what up? Chopped it up real quick, handed him a new CD. He was like, yo, track three. Listen, track three. I'm gone. You feel me?
Yeah.
Gave him the CD, got loose, and he recorded the song.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Incredible.
Yeah.
So did that change your whole deal? Like, did that put you on the map?
That was like the first record that I had as a producer on the radio.
Right.
And that shit went viral. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It wasn't even viral back then.
Yeah.
Viral wasn't even that around back then, but it was, yeah. You know what I mean? It was regional hit.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What do you think is like the lasting impact of the hyphy movement? Like, do you think about things like that?
Right.
I really haven't, actually.
Okay.
But I see it and I notice it. You know what I mean?
True.
You know what I mean?
Speak on it, man. Come on, man.
It's
speak on it, man.
People are still doing hyphy. Right. Man. And you know, we've been doing it for, you know, 2003, 2004, 2005, and it's a worldwide sound now.
Right.
And it's popular. And
yo, Trax, you've always been sort of like forward minded. I mean, you can tell if anybody's listened to your like past production. Who you listen to?
I listen to a little bit of everything right
okay.
now. Now, I'm not listening to nobody specifically.
Okay.
I'm just kind of listening
okay.
to everything.
Trap shit, you know what I mean?
Trap shit. I like a lot of trap shit.
Okay, okay.
I love trap shit.
Okay.
I don't know a lot. I love trap shit. I love bass shit.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like just new shit. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Just listening to the new cast, because I'm just, you know, I just want to stay in tune with what's going on.
Right.
As a producer, I just always got to stay in tune with how the beat sound and
rhythmic
patterns and so on and so forth.
Okay, okay.
So I'm just always just listening. So like right now, I'm just listening to everybody.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Is there a guy right now? Is there like a preeminent, like, this is the guy?
Not to me.
Okay, okay.
I mean, you know, there's Drake, it's Michael Jackson.
Right.
Michael Jackson.
They're okay. Can we talk a little bit about your equipment setup? Like, what do you use? What's your kind of software or hardware, or how do you make your music?
I use Logic, and I have a MIDI controller, and a bunch of plugins.
Has it changed throughout time? Like, did you start on an MPC and kind of go digital?
Started on tape loop.
Actually, nah.
Started on tape loop.
We started on four tracks, baby.
Nice. Sure.
Go ahead.
Yo, Trax, when did you, like, your first beat, what year was that? Like, what are we talking about?
What beat was that?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like,
well, hold on. Okay. Quick side story.
Okay.
How I actually met Trax and Million was I was battling another kid from my high school in the homie's backyard. And we had an MC battle. It was terrible. We were both terrible. So we had a battle. We went back and forth for about an hour. It went from being mildly interesting to like hella boring. Nobody's paying attention.
Real hip hop.
And then real hip hop off top. And this is like when Mass Appeal had came out. I think we rapped on Mass Appeal for like an hour and a half.
Oh man.
And then
always good.
Always. Until you ruin it because you ain't got no skills yet. But so we back there going back and forth and. And then Trax just comes through. I don't even know how he got there. But he came through and he's like, oh, we rapping?
Somebody called me. Somebody called me and was like,
there's a battle going on?
There's a battle going on. Get here. I'm like, I'm on the way. I throw my backpack on, slap my hat, twist it to the side. I'm going. Let's go.
Damn. Okay, so there was a rap battle alert.
Your head wasn't twisted to the side, you was in hip-hop. You had to twist your head to the side.
Jump in the phone booth, come out and twist the cap.
So, yeah, he just rolled up. And, I mean, we're literally, I'm 15, so you're like,
14, 13. Damn, DeMone was 15, what are we talking about?
70s? Yeah. Early 80s, right? No, so so yeah, so Trax came through, grabbed the mic, kicked one verse that was better than anything we had done all day, and I was like, I need this dude on my team.
So you started off as a writer then?
Yeah, I started off rapping.
Oh, word, okay.
I started off rapping.
Okay.
But you made a beat. You made a beat because you ended up battling dude, and you had made some type of beat.
Yeah, so I ended up, whatever, the battle continued, whatever, you know, it's high school fun, we kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So I ended up making a beat and a song, dissing this kid, and I took all my mom's and dad's tapes at the time, he was dealing with tape. I took all their tapes, recorded over them, recorded this song over all my mom and dad's tapes. I took about like 20, 35, 30 of their tapes. Damn, and recorded over them the night before school, went to school, handed them all out. I was a man.
Instantaneous. Awesome.
Instantaneous, the man.
what was, like, you know, young San Jose's reception to that shit?
I don't know. I don't even think I was in tune with it. Because we were, like, kind of, like, outcasts.
Okay.
At the time. So it was, like, it wasn't...
That's a good start, though. But then,
you know, people wasn't really into, like, underground hip-hop like we was into at the time. So we were kind of, like, the weirdos. Mm. You know what I mean? And, I don't know.
Just some weirdos with some weird flows.
Yeah, you know, just some...
But we ended up doing... we did a rally. We rapped at a high school pep rally over Southern Playalistic.
Damn.
Yeah. The instrumental.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was kind of on from then. And people was like, oh,
you know.
Because I was a new kid at the school at the time. I was new.
Where are you originally from, man?
I'm from San Jose.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Oh, just you switched schools.
Yeah, yeah. I went to Gunnison and then ended up going to Andrew Hill.
Gotcha.
At Andrew Hill, that's when I met him.
Where?
And I was a new kid that rapped.
Okay.
And, you know, just getting acclimated to everybody at the school.
And then we did that, and it was like, oh, that's interesting. What is y'all doing? And so, yeah, man, and we're talking, I guess, circa 93, 94.
Okay, okay.
Then we formed
till infinity.
Yeah, pretty much. That was the whole mission statement.
Oh, yeah.
At that part of the game, Trax got on the show.
Shout out to Trax shirt right now.
And then we formed a rap group, our own little, you know, Souls Jr.
Okay.
Called Lackadaisical, myself, Traxamillion, and our late homie Jesse Jones.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. And talk about what it was like to, you know, like produce that first one. This is before you even had equipment or anything like that. When we was going to the studio and
the Lackadaisical?
Yeah.
I did.
How was that, getting your first?
Man, I was just juiced at the time, because it was just like, rapping. We were going to the studio. We were actually paying money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it was like $150 for like 10 hours or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Interesting to see that those rates have not changed.
Yeah. And, you know, kids in the studio, we're in the studio, so I'm making beats, I got a little equipment. I'm like, it was really like a dope learning experience for me. And,
do you keep that stuff? Are you an archive guy? Do you have, like, all your old stuff?
I try to, and I lose it.
Yeah.
Our friends keep more than that stuff than I do.
Sure.
D probably has way more shit.
I got the words.
Cheese got some shit.
Okay,
Cheese and Joel. Okay. They got archive.
Cool. Yo, you know, you're like, intertwined with the hyphy movement because of all of your, like, fantastic production. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite hyphy joint from that era?
My favorite hyphy joint? Ooh. I don't know.
Top three hyphy.
Top three. I'm definitely gonna put Super Hyphy up there.
Yeah, yeah,
okay.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And that's not even a flex room.
Yeah.
Love it.
Tell Me When to Go is just pretty high up there.
Uh huh.
And then
Isn't that good?
There's a dance probably.
Yeah. Which one?
Thizzle Dance, Mac Dre.
Oh, word. Okay, yeah. Okay. Word.
Huge song, and it's interesting that both Thizzle Dance and Tell Me When to Go like kind of codify the movement. They explain to other people who are not from the Bay what the Bay was doing.
Right. Yeah, it becomes a business card for the hyphy movement, kind of. Yeah.
And then also on Tell Me When to Go, we have the most, I think, creative use of sleigh bells. I think that's an underrated. Now, we'll do a future segment. We'll do like the history of sleigh bells and hip-hop.
Buck Wild might disagree with you. There are a lot of sleigh bells tracks in the back then. But the sleigh bells. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, at 126 BPM, some sleigh bells.
It's interesting because it's a hot day. It's July. It's California. Yeah. And this is our second time talking about Christmas today.
That is. Sure. That's horrific for July.
Trax, please talk to us about Tech Boom. That's your last major project. Who did you work with? How did it come about? Tell us about that.
Yeah. What was your mind state like?
It was really just me tapping in with the young blood of San Jose. You know what I mean? Just really just trying to find some new artists. I work with, you know, well-known artists the majority of my career.
Mm-hmm.
And well-known Bay Area artists, you know, the majority of my career.
So yeah.
I wanted to work with some unknown, you know, some unknown talent, because they're talent. They're talent.
Yeah, of course.
People don't know who they are.
You got to tap into it.
Exactly. So I just wanted to tap into that. And so I just rounded up a bunch of young hooligans, you know, asked around who was who and asked a bunch of questions and just rounded up a bunch of names and tapped in and listened. And it was like, okay, you do this stuff.
Right on. I don't know if you feel this way. I feel this way. There's a whole culture of San Jose that's separate from tech. And from what people think of as, like, the show Silicon Valley and the idea of Silicon Valley, there's, like, a real San Jose.
Right.
That, I know you live on the east side. I'm from Evergreen, but I say I'm from the east side. it's, like, kind of like...
East side adjacent.
East side adjacent.
I'm from the south, though.
Yeah. Are you? Okay, good to know. Good to know. So, do you think that there's a San Jose scene or culture that you're trying to represent in your music?
Most definitely. Scene, you know, as far as about the scene, I don't really know about the scene, but just, you know, I mean, I'm definitely just trying to represent.
Okay.
And, you know, be a force on the creative side, the musical side.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And as far as what I think the bar should be.
Right.
I mean, I'm just trying to set my little bar and, you know what I mean, just pump music out of it.
You know, like, every time I talk to someone who, like, has sort of made it, who's sort of from the area, example, people Wolf. Spoke to him the other day, and he was like, you know what, there was nothing for me in San Jose. I had to fucking get out. What are you guys doing here? You got to go to these scenes. What sort of made you stay? What did you see that sort of made you be like, you know, I'm going to, like, flesh this out here?
Well, you know, I got family out here, you know what I mean?
Word.
You know what I mean? So family always got to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just get up and lead the family.
But you never thought about, like, dipping to L.A. or New York?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, I take trips down there.
Yeah.
You know, take trips to L.A. or New York.
I have to say, one of the best things about San Jose is how close it is to other cities.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say better cities, but you know.
Yeah. Motherfuckers don't like coming to San Jose. They be like, man, you know the weather in San Jose? I'm like, yeah.
Hey, but from Vallejo, Richmond.
How about next week? Yeah, I'm like, all right, man.
Gotta take the Caltrain out there.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool, man. I think let's talk a little bit about your new shit. Let's talk about Ziggy. Let's talk about the EP that might be coming soon. Like, who's Ziggy? How did you guys meet? What's next?
Ziggy's just another young whippersnapper. You know what I mean? Young blood from San Jose that, he was on my last project, Tech Boom, which was basically a project I produced with all San Jose artists. He was just basically one of the artists on there that stood out to me.
Okay.
And just kind of shined.
Okay. You know, yeah. Shout out to Damone, who just did a piece on him.
Exactly.
Okay.
Damone just wrote the article.
So how you know, you're a producer, he's a rapper. How did he strike you? You know, like, what made you be like, I want to work with this cat?
His voice. You know, okay. And he just had a unique tone to his voice. You know, it's like almost like, you know, to me, I would describe it as like, I don't know. Just a unique tone. Like, you know, like Q-Tip has like a weird buzzy tone.
Timber hits you.
Yeah, he has a tone like
effervescent.
So, you know what I mean? And his hooks was really good. And
every
song that he was on just kind of stood out. And just, I was just like, so we just kind of continue making music. And I just continue throwing them beats and just continue working.
Word.
And this is basically just a product of that. You know
okay. Mm-hmm. How many tracks on that? So what are we talking about? EP?
Yeah, it's an EP about...
Okay.
While we have you in the studio, I'm just going to ask you something we've been debating all summer. Is a 7-song project an album?
I have no idea. I always thought it was an EP.
Right.
I think Ye changed the game with the whole 7-song thing. did? I've always been like, EP's like 6 or 7 songs.
Right.
Five
yeah.
songs.
Same.
Like a maxi single, maybe.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So, you know
what I mean? They don't have those anymore.
I'm just kind of into that now, just as far as like just quick start.
Right, right, right. I mean, a release date don't matter, right? You drop 3 good songs or 7 good songs.
I guess it
all
depends
good.
On who you are. If you're Beyonce, release
right. right. Right, 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 right.
Drake, it don't matter.
Right, right, right. No, certainly.
Every time we have a producer on the show, I like to ask them this question. Do you think that digital Pro Tools and like the kind of changing equipment parameters have made music better or worse?
For me, I feel like it's made it better because I'm able to do more with less effort.
Sure.
I'm able to do more. So that's for me, yeah.
It's actually funny because most of the producers say yes, and I actually, maybe we should ask some fans.
I mean, I know everybody says the analog is dope. I don't know, all this shit is dope, man. These little kids is making crazy sounding shit on FUBU.
Yeah.
And, you know, but I definitely think it's watered it down to some degree.
That's the counterpoint, right?
Yeah.
Now anyone can make music.
As far as the creativity, like, motherfuckers ain't getting as creative as they used to.
Sure.
Well, before we sort of close it out, you know, talk a little bit about San Jose, man. Like, how did that affect your music? I mean, people who are from New York or like LA, people always ask them about like how the Bronx like affected their music. Nobody asks how Tully affected their music. You know what I'm saying? Like, talk a little bit about that. Like, your surroundings as a producer, as someone who puts out sounds.
I mean, man, it's crazy because San Jose, you know, it's like predominantly Latin. And you know what I mean? Being a black kid in middle school, not having too many other black people around. It was just kind of, you know, I went through identity crisis at one point. You feel me? Thought I was something else.
Hey.
Thought it was something else for a minute.
Relatable. Relatable.
You feel me? So, you know, I bounced back from that and, you know, just San Jose is just a different place. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you just grow up, you know what I mean? Different.
Yeah.
And, but Oakland, predominantly black city.
Yeah.
I go out there, it's like it's culture shock. Like, oh shit.
Right.
Got it moving.
Sure.
So, I don't know. I think that just had an effect on just how I see music. You know what I mean? I grew up with a lot of like house music and freestyle music.
Yeah, shit.
That we hear out here in San Jose. So a lot of that stuff, like songs that trigger beats inside of me are like those type of records, old school freestyle records and Stevie B.
Absolutely,
like that,
there's it's a theory, but I think it's a pretty proven theory that freestyle was big in Miami, Queens, and the Bay Area.
Totally,
it's
New Orleans.
Oh, interesting. Right? I didn't know that. If it pops off there, I mean that's a party city.
That's crazy.
So I think it's interesting that has such a huge impact on all of our kind of cultural. Memory.
Yeah,
like if I went to elementary school
dances,
listen to Debbie Deb, but I didn't know that was actually Pretty Tony. Pretty Tony's a genius producer.
Right. And then to have like a Dustin and Enriquez, and it's like, oh,
hometown heroes, dude.
Amazing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amazing.
For sure.
Damone.
So I want to thank Traxxon Million for coming through.
Oh, yeah.
And building with us here on the Dad Bod Rap Pod. In closing. Let the world know what you got in the tank. What can we expect in this next couple quarters for Traxxon Million?
New music. The next thing coming up is a Hot Summer project with Ziggy.
Mm-hmm.
Quick EP produced all by me.
When is that dropping?
This summer.
Okay.
Okay. Near you.
Like next week?
It'll be next week.
Okay.
All right. We'll check for it.
Yeah. We'll be waiting.
So it'll be dropping this summer.
Where?
After that, I'm working on some other projects. I got a project with me and DJ Fresh did. Collaboratively with Mr. Fab called The Year 2006.
Oh, wow.
Where we just throw back. We do a bunch of hyphy slaps. Retroactive on the ass real quick.
That's awesome. I just saw Sorry to Bother You this weekend, and Mr. Fab has a fucking awesome cameo.
Yes.
Oh,
man. No spoilers.
No spoiler, but Mr. Fab is in there. Real quick, how can people connect with you? Twitter, Instagram, how do you like to interact with your fans?
You want to reach me on Twitter, Traxxon Million, TraxxonMillion, TraxxonMillion. Same thing on IG, same thing on Snapchat, tracks a million, tracks a million, tracks a million, all the way across.
Tracks a million!
Boom, million tracks.
Thank you so much for coming through. Really appreciate it. Can't wait to hear the new music. And yeah, man, just keep rapping San Jose. We really appreciate it.
Yo, thank you so much, Tracks a Million. Great to have you in my living room with my two homies. I'm like, you know, I mean, not to like crazy big up you or give you a big head, but I mean, it was great really just sort of dissecting some stuff with you, catching up with you. Love the Souls of Mischief shirt. our fans at home can't see it, but thank you so much, man. Shouts to, you know, it was really nice to hear your relationship with Damone as well. It's some hometown history stuff that if it was anywhere else, we'd get sort of big upped. But here, you know, there's not like a super focus on stuff like that. And no. It was really cool to fucking hear on a humble tip.
Yeah. It's a super humble cat. It's not really too superstarish, you know what I mean?
Not at all.
Yeah, so I really dug him coming in and kind of chopping it up with us. I would say that, definitely be on the lookout for his new work with Ziggy, and also the Tech Boom, which has some joints on it. I don't think it got the proper, in this rap world. It didn't get the proper look, but you should definitely check that out if you haven't already.
Cool. So that was our interview with Tracks a Million. We want to thank him for coming through. This is the Dad Bod Rap Pod.
And a one and a two. We want to thank you for listening to another dope episode of the Dad Bod Rap Pod. More fly conversation and interviews coming your way every week.
You can find the podcast on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/dadbodrappod. And we're always down to interact with you on Twitter @dadbodrappod, all spelled out.
Subscribe on Stitcher, Google Play, and iTunes.